Gotta flip it. I guess I'll be good. I don't know. No, thank you. I do appreciate it, though. Ma'am? Yeah, that's right. I slobber. Hello, guys. Good seasons. Hey there, honey. Boo. What's up? Got your purple book? I know. Yeah. You'd have to talk like this. Are you? You want me to do the whole thing? Man, y'all are a mess to look at, let me tell you. Ah, dog.
You should see it from here.
Huh?
You should see it from here.
Yeah, I feel like I'm... Never mind what I just said, people out there. Yeah, strike that. Strike that. Well, C-Line wanted me to ask one of you guys if y'all would lead us in some songs. Any volunteers? Should have brought your what?
Guitar.
Oh, you can't sing without a guitar? I can hum for you if that'll help you. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's all right. We'll do something. What about a request? Let's sing a Christmas song. Y'all want to? It's Christmas season, right? What? God, this is like a. Where in this book does the Christmas song start? Let's sing one that's kind of lively. I don't like starting out church services. Well, Jesus paid it all. Okay, Joy to the World, 408. Go ahead. Thank you. 6. Thank you, Brother Jeff, and thank you, Brother Randy. Okay. I was thinking about this afternoon, a very familiar portion of Scripture right here during this Christmas season. There's been a lot of speculation about who Jesus was, or if he was even really a person. I'm sorry, we forgot to take offering, didn't we? Yeah, we got to do that. It's Baptist church. We got to do it. Randy, I guess you could just, once you get back there, you can just play a little something back there. All right? I'll go and I'll ask the blessing, okay? I'll go. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I'm not used to a pulpit or this high. It's like I'm looking at things like this. It needs to be. Anyway, it's the one we have. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, there's a very familiar portion of Scripture that we're all used to during this time. But I just, Randy, lower that music, buddy, if you would, just a little bit. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, open it to Luke chapter number 2. I'm going to be reading about 14 verses here. You can just kill that, man. That's all right. Luke chapter number 2. And if you're able, if you would stand as I read these 14 verses. I generally try to do that. I respect to God's word when we're reading a number of verses, especially. Luke chapter number 2. And the Bible says, and it came to pass. In those days, two different phrases, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a manger, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there in the same country, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the reading and the teaching of your word tonight. May we use it to glorify you the best we can. Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Very familiar story, right? Even though we've read that 10,000 times to 10,000 people, there's still a speculation out there if Jesus was even real. There was another verse that came to my mind as I was looking through this that kind of ties into, I guess, where the Holy Spirit had me kind of centering in on. It was a verse over in Galatians where it said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. When the fullness of time had come. A long time ago, way before time was ever created, God the Father had a plan. He planned on mankind, and he knew the decisions mankind would make before mankind made the decisions. He developed a plan to send his son, the only one in heaven, the only one capable of paying the price of what man had to pay in order to restore a relationship that at that moment, Jeff, had not even happened. Hadn't even been broken yet. So when I was reading just the Christmas story, just, you know, just how we do during Christmas season, we read the Christmas story. That verse came to my mind when I started reading chapter 2 when it says, and it came to pass in those days. Now, most would think, oh, he's talking about those days back, historically speaking, when Caesar Augustus sent out it so that everybody can zero in. But I think it's far more than that. It said, and it came to pass. Kind of interested in what it was. It came to pass in those days. What days? These days set aside by Caesar Augustus? No. Those days set aside by him. Long time ago. Can you imagine God having his eternal calendar out? Somewhere down the eons of time, all of a sudden he sees a section in calendar, a section of days, and he puts some parentheses around it. These are the days. These are the days. Now you would think, and there's another verse that kind of reminded me of some things in the storyline here that God just wouldn't let me get away from it. And I was thinking, because I don't like a lot of verses. I like to, you know me, I'll take verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we just deal with verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But when the Holy Spirit starts grabbing this one over here and grab, it makes me a little nervous because I'm afraid I'm going to mess something up, you know. This verse here. Colossians. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things were created through him, and here it is, and for. Well, if he created all things, he created those days. Those days that he set aside for when it came to pass, these days. They were created for him. For him. A lot of speculation about who Jesus is. Tammy likes to look at the stars. She aggravates the far out of me and the boys when there's a full moon. I mean, she'll come run in like the Indians are approaching or something. She'll say, come on, come quick, come quick. There's a full moon. And of course, out of respect for Aunt Tammy, we all go, yeah, that's pretty. And we go back. That was created for him. The stars that you can see, you know what I read this afternoon? That the light of the stars that we see now are lights from the stars from probably millions of years ago. Stars that were shining has already lost its luster, but yet we are still seeing the star. I read that they were, Jeff, there were 2 trillion galaxies. 2 trillion. I can't even count that high. In our galaxy alone, 100,000 stars. But that verse says all of those was created for him. I'd imagine, I don't know if we're on any other planet, but if we was on any other planet, I wonder if we could see the stars shining towards those planets as it appears all the light and the sun and the stars are shining towards this planet. I wonder. Could be. Maybe not. I don't know. I do know this, Ceylon. If I've got a flashlight, I got a flashlight for a Christmas gift today. And you can shine that flashlight and whatever it is you're pointing at, oh, you can see that flashlight pointing right at it. But over to the left or to the right, you can't see that light like you can over there. Could it be that the galaxies, that the stars, that the earth were created for him, for this section of days, for light to be shining towards one moment of history. These days. But let's keep going. Look in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, he starts out and it came to pass in those days. In those days. He's getting our minds focused on a certain area, certain section of days of calendar. But then by verse 11, he zeroes in on one. For unto you is born this day. It was a real day. A real day. Really, it happened. It was a day in history. It wasn't a myth. It wasn't some magical story about Jesus. It was a day that happened in those days that this historical figure that is in the history books, Caesar Augustus, you can go to any library right now and say, hey, when he was there, he did send out a decree under that region so that everybody would go back to their town in order to pay a tax. He did that. It happened. And during that time, the Holy Spirit says, on this day, is born to you. It was a day planned from eternity past. It was an impactful day that's going to impact us for our eternity future. It happened all in a day. It was real. But not only a real day, it was a real city. It happened in a city. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Didn't happen in Narnia. Didn't happen in a galaxy far, far away. It happened into a place that is 6,441 miles away from Powder Springs, Georgia. It was a place. It really happened on a real day in a section of time that he set aside. For unto you. Unto you. It still exists. Tammy's been there. She's told me stories about being at Bethlehem. It's real. The Bible says Joseph also went up from Galilee unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 6 miles from Jerusalem. It's there today. It's there where Jesse lived, the father of David. It was a real place. Micah the prophet prophesied over Bethlehem when he said, but you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old and of ancient days. It happened in a real city. It happened on a real day. Just like Douglasville, just like Powder Springs, shoot, just like Somerville. Do you know we had a place in Somerville set aside called Snuffyville? That's a real place. Snuffyville. And I'm here to tell you, if Snuffyville's a real place, so was Bethlehem. It happened. What happened? For unto you, we know something's given to us, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. A Savior. Let me ask you something. God's very particular about his word. You agree? He's very meticulous about what words he uses and when he uses it and how he uses it. And he doesn't make any mistakes. Would we not get the same understanding if it said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Lord? For unto you is born this in the city of David, the Messiah? We would still know that, right? But the Holy Spirit, Jeff, said, no, a Savior. Why would he use that word? Why would God announce from angels and a time frame that has been set aside by him before time even began. In those days, it came to pass. On this day, in a real city, a Savior. Why would he use that word unless we needed that word? We needed that word. So there's no sense in announcing a Savior unless we need a Savior. Anybody here had never sinned? If you raised your hand, I said, well, you did one, at least you're lying. So that's at least one. I'm glad the Holy Spirit knew exactly what word to put, don't you? Because I need one. I needed one, I need one, and I will continue to need one. I need a Savior. I've broken God's law. You have too. We don't have to teach our kids to, or we have to teach our kids not to lie. We have to teach our kids not to make up stories. We have to teach our kids to obey. We have to teach our kids, yes ma'am, no ma'am. We have to teach our kids to always try to be kind to others. We have to teach our kids not to fall under the tendency to bully or to have at least carry around you some sense of morality. Some adults miss that growing up. But why do we have to teach that? Because it's embedded in us not to be that. You know why? Because we're sinners and we need a Savior. For unto you, God said, for unto you, in those days that I've centered out, that I set out, in the midst of those days I've singled out one day, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ? The anointed one, the Messiah. The one that you've been reading about in the Old Testament, he says to the Jews. The ones you've been looking for but keep overlooking the one in front of you. That one is him. The one that's prophesied. The one that you've talked about. The ones you told you, little boys and little girls about when you put into bed. A Messiah's coming. That one. The anointed one. This is going to be the last anointed king. The last anointed prophet. The last anointed priest. The very last one. God says, he is going to be born. It was a real day. It was a real city. It was a real Savior. And it was the talked about Messiah. He's coming, says God. He's coming.